Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free. You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we've got one of the best blues singers around performing live, Shamika Copeland. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. We'll also pay tribute to Gordon Lightfoot and review the new album from rapper Billy Woods.
FaceTime declined, I'm trying to live in the moment like death row. The sun set in the desert, red glow, redness in the west. I sip Mexico's best slow. Mezcal Negroni, sitting atop the corral, smoking, watching unbroken wild ponies run wild at sundown. Only the lonely big tree like the sundown.
That is a little bit of a track called FaceTime. It was the first single from the new album, Maps, by Billy Woods, the rapper, and producer Kenny Siegel, their second collaboration. But Greg, holy cow, charting Billy Woods' discography is a big job. I think this is one of the most fascinating people and voices in hip-hop today. Who is Billy Woods? Grew up in Zimbabwe and the West Indies. Mom was a literary professor from Jamaica. Dad was a Zimbabwean political refugee. Winds up in New York. And from the beginning, so talented that the collaborators, the list of collaborators in underground hip-hop is stunning. Was working with Vordul Mega of Cannibal Ox, worked with MF Doom. These are all people you love. And several albums with Lucid as the duo Armand Hammer. I did my best to chart the discography. I have 16 albums, not counting the Armand Hammer records. If we add them up, 21 albums by Billy Woods since the late 1990s, early 2000s. And people are really excited about this collaboration with Kenny Siegel. Who is Kenny Siegel? Grew up in Maryland, moved out to the West Coast, a cellist, a keyboardist, a percussionist, and a DJ producer. These two have a special affinity together. As I said, this is their second album together. The hip-hop world is buzzing about it. Let's dive in and play another tune from Maps, and then we'll give our reviews. This is called Soundcheck.
I will not be a sound check. Might watch the sunset over your city from a parapet or a park bench. Headlamp splash, squatted tents. On my way to the venue, they wave me in. I'm from where bottles got smashed over your head in the spot. I'm tense. I'm smiling like I'm not. I'm surfing through the set. After curtains, I sit for a while before I go get the check.
That is Soundcheck from Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel. The new album is called Maps. It is their second collaboration after their breakthrough record in 2019, Hiding Places, one of the best records of that year. That was the record where I'm going, man, this guy is unbelievably good. And ever since, you know, with the Lucid, the Armand Hammer project in 2021, and now this album, we got to discuss this guy in the context of somebody like, you know, Kendrick, or, you know, I mean, he is
Kendrick
at that
Lamar,
level
Kanye
of
West
just
before
being
he lost
a
the
genius
plot.
Hip-hop artist.
Yeah.
And this record confirms that every song, the detail, the level of detail in the rhymes, the level of the way the sonic scenery keeps shifting. You know, it's a road record, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I compare it to like a Cormac McCarthy, you know, book, The Road, that 2006 novel, where it's really about the relationship between the father and the son.
Yeah.
This record is about the relationship of Billy Woods to New York, being away from New York for the mm-hmm. first time, as you mentioned, since the pandemic. His relationship to hip-hop semi-stardom, which is starting to emerge, with his own motives for doing what he does. You know, when you look at a song like Soundcheck, I will not show up at Soundcheck. He sounds
no,
like
I'm
a spoiled rock star.
Where's he going to be? He's either going to be at the Szechuan restaurant
right? yeah.
or he's going to be sitting on a bench on a parapet overlooking the city at night.
And then
I love that.
And then the self-doubt, every victory pyrrhic, every, you know, every live show, I forget the lyrics. You know,
yep.
he's sort of self-deprecating. NYC Tapwater, where he's reminiscing, you know, the jazzy backdrop, the watery electric keys, creating this framework for these street scenes that are so, you know, there's a guy who loves the city and hates it at the same time. And the detail of the little images that he draws out in that song are just so uncanny.
I miss this place till I'm back, long face to match. My cats are strays, but the rats too big to catch. Lap to be 48, no foot race. Bus driver tried to play the kid. You know I'm not going out like that. Crazy.
He's funny. Year Zero.
Very funny.
And at the same time, what a song. The Year Zero is amazing. That tolling of the bell, those mm-hmm. rumbling synths underneath. Ape stood and walked into the future. March of progress and hunchbacked in front of the computer. You know, this is where we have ended up as a human race, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All of evolution leads to us being slaves to these machines.
Can't fix stupid. Ape stood and walked into the future. March of progress and hunchback front the computer.
And I would say that every track on this record has that level of, like, you can dig deeper and deeper into it. And sonically and lyrically, the sophistication is just mind-blowingly great. This is a
Absolutely.
Terrific record.
Absolutely. We didn't even get to Kenwood Speakers, where he's mocking being at, like, the word used to be yuppie. You know, yuppie dinner party,
yeah.
where they're serving skate wings and stuff. And he's whispering in the host's ear, trying to bore him to death, and he literally succeeds.
Dinner party with the neighbors, their apartments renovated. Skate wing, brown butter and capers, sprigs of thyme. Heavy pours and natural wine. I turned the music up incrementally and told mischievous lies. I whispered in the host's ear all night. I hear they found him in the morning, hose run from the exhaust pipe.
First class storyteller, incredibly fluid rapper. Let's not forget to give some props to Kenny Siegel.
Yeah.
Because the evolution.
The soundscapes are incredible.
The evolution of the sounds from their last collaboration to this one. You know, it's jazzy, it's cutting edge electronic. I swear I hear moments that evoke Pink Floyd's mm-hmm. Dark Side of the Moon,
yeah.
kind of playfully. It's just, this is a brilliant, brilliant record.
If you could read my mind, love. What a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me.
That is If You Could Read My Mind, a 1970 classic from one Gordon Lightfoot. Died May 1 at the age of 84. A songwriter's songwriter. I mean, even a guy like Dylan was looking up to this
yeah.
guy. Came out of that Toronto scene, which was loaded with talent. The coffee house scene of the early 60s. You know, Ian and Sylvia, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, Leonard Cohen, all performing in that scene at one point. And Gordon Lightfoot right in the middle of all of that. And writing songs every bit the equal of anybody from that era. Consistently, you know, as with many of these songwriters, he became famous because his songs were recorded by more commercially viable artists. Ian and Sylvia, Peter, Paul and Mary, Marty Robbins, people like that were recording his songs. Then he started making music and, you know, blown people's minds with not only the voice and the delivery, the guitar playing, but the level of the lyrical insight in his songs. You know, people said, you know, if you could read my mind, that's his masterpiece. You know, I would go back to, you know, there's a half dozen of songs that I would say are good contenders. One being, one that I never saw anybody really mention when talking about Gordon Lightfoot's legacy, Black Day in July from 1968.
Hmm.
And this particular song, Herbie Lovell's drum fills on this song, the chaos in the streets of Detroit. He talked about the uprising in Detroit in 1967, a close neighbor of Toronto. So they were
just across the border,
very much understanding what was happening there. The soul of Motor City is bared across the land. A lot of radio stations wouldn't play it because it was so overtly political. And it's a great song. You listen to that and you go, that's Gordon Lightfoot? So he was capable of a whole lot of different moods and modes of delivery in his song, besides just the classic singer-songwriter folky guy, right?
Yeah. When are you going to get to it?
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Right? The riffs, the electric riffs in that song, the pedal steel and the guitar in that song, that riff makes it. That is just such a haunting piece of work.
Well, you know, the legend lives on from the Kichwa on down. You know?
Well, Gitchigumi, when was the first and last time it was mentioned in a top 40 hit?
Well, it's hard to rhyme.
Yeah.
I always mocked you because your basement had several rooms full, ceiling to floor, with tens of thousands of CDs. You kept everything. And there was an entire Gordon Lightfoot shelf. And I kind of contended, well, all you really need, and this is the era before streaming, kids, right? All you really need is one good 2-CD best of.
Right.
But I, you know, I'm wrong. You're deep into the Lightfoot.
Well, the 60s and 70s Lightfoot was pretty impeccable, I thought. And this song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, about that freighter that sank in Lake Superior in 1975, 29 crew members died. You know, in the great tradition of folk songs being a storytelling.
It's a great story.
You know, you know our history because of, you know, people like Gordon Lightfoot, and this is a great example of it.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitchigumi. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty.
The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald in tribute to the late, great Gordon Lightfoot. When we return, we'll have Shamika Copeland performing live for us and some very lucky Chicagoans. That's coming up on Sound Opinions.
Coming back from some mill in Wisconsin.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, we're thrilled to bring you a live session that we taped a few months ago with Shamika Copeland at the Goose Island Tap Room in Chicago. Astute listeners may recall that Shamika made my favorite album of 2020, Uncivil War. Last year, she followed that up with Done Come Too Far. And I think these two albums, Greg, are incredible. There's no such thing as a bad Shamika album. From the beginning, when she started out making music on her own, she has just grown and grown as an artist, musically, lyrically. She's just the best.
You know, she had such a strong start, and you always think about, well, is an artist ever going to be able to top a debut that was as good as Shamika's, you know, many years ago? And I think she's done that. You know, you see the real growth in these last few albums especially. They were indeed great albums, those last two. Shamika's one of the best blues singers working today, no doubt about it. So we were thrilled to welcome her and guitarist Arthur Nielsen to the Goose Island Tap Room for a live event. We started by asking how being the daughter of blues guitarist Johnny Copeland, no slouch himself, as a blues guitarist or singer, had affected her career.
I love hearing about my dad. I've been doing this. I've been out on the road for many years now. And anytime people bring me pictures or tell me they remember seeing him, I love it every time. So, No, I don't get tired of it. It's wonderful. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him and my mom, you know.
Well, you were a talent, apparently, at a very young age. You were singing, and clearly you had some chops as a kid, even. And your dad recognized that, it seemed like. So he, in a way, and he took you out on tour when you were like 16, right?
Yeah. The first time, I used to go out with him when I was even younger than that. I remember going to Spain with him at like 9 years old. And yeah, I started going out with him and seeing what he did. You know, for me, he was just dad. So it was just, you know, I didn't know he was Johnny Copeland, right? And I love doing that. I love going out with him. And then I started really seriously going out at about 16, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was curious because, you know, obviously he'd been through a lot of ups and downs in his career, and he was at really kind of a peak when he died. And in a lot of ways, he's been making these series of great records that was bringing him quite a bit of recognition. But did he give you any, did he want you to go into the business too? Because he knew the hard knocks that you could get playing the circuit over,
you know,
the years.
He absolutely wanted me to go into the business. I mean, from birth, I mean, they were bringing me home from the hospital and my mom was holding me and he goes, she's going to sing the blues. So I think I would say yes, he wanted it for sure. Yeah. Despite all the challenges, yeah.
Well, what was the best, any advice that he gave you that stuck with you over the years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you know, I always say that you have to have a strong, solid foundation to be, you know, well, to live in general, but especially to be in this business. And I got that from my parents, so I'm so grateful for that. But I just love watching them. I mean, there's a few things, no matter what he was doing, what performance, no matter how many people were there, you always give it 100%, you know, and he was all about that. He always used to say to me, never read the press, because he would say, if you read the press and it's good, you become cocky and arrogant, and if it's bad, you become bitter and angry. And it's so funny, because I know all those people, like I know them, so I try to stay somewhere in the middle.
Well, the way these work is we chat a bit, and then you guys play us a song. What are you going to start with, Shamika?
I'll start with Too Far to Be Gone, which is on the latest album, Done Come Too Far.
Excellent.
All right.
A small thing like a seat on a bus change life for the rest of us. A tiny woman that you never met put us on the road, but we ain't there yet. A brave soul is long gone, but a spirit's marching on. We done come too far to be gone. We come too far to be gone. If you think we're stopping, you got it wrong. We come too far to be gone. It's God's love on the line. Now we're miles from our first steps. About as tired as you can get. But as sure as day turns night, we'll keep moving till we make it right. We done come too far to be gone. We come too far to be gone. If you think we're stopping, you got it wrong. We come too far to be gone. Selma and Birmingham, marching together through the glory land, standing proud, never stumbled, all through the daily struggle, making good trouble, just to keep moving on, yeah. That's Arthur Nielsen, y'all, on that guitar. Give it up for him. Though we were silenced at the Lorraine, but that voice didn't die in vain. Its echo rings like no other for every sister and every brother. Though many are gone, their spirit still screams, you can kill a man, but not a dream. We done come too far to be gone. We come too far to be gone. If you think we're stopping, you got it wrong. We come too far to be gone. We done come too far to be gone. We come too far to be gone. If you think we're stopping, you got it wrong. We come too far, way too far, too far to be gone.
Thank you.
Done Come Too Far, title track of album number 11, by my count, right?
Yeah, I think so. Gosh.
I know. Who's counting?
I know. It's amazing. I don't know what happened to the last 25 years. It's like, what's
yeah, going on? I know. The last 3 years in particular, the end of the world. So I want to read an endorsement you got. I am so happy Shamika is delivering these songs that the world needs to hear. Her voice is strong and soulful. Her message comes from her heart. That is Mavis Staples talking about you.
Wow.
Man, you know, I mean.
Well, she's truly an inspiration. I mean, you know, these songs are not new. I mean, people used to do them all the time.
Yeah.
And then I think at some point it just kind of stopped. And after I had my little guy, he's almost six. He'll be six on Christmas Eve, and he's completely running my life. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I got to tell you, it's funny. I think God has a sense of humor, because I always said, there's no man going to run my life and tell me what to do.
And then you got this six-year-old, yeah.
Whoops.
But anyway, after I had him, I really wanted to make the world a better place somehow. And I thought, I want this kid to grow up and be proud of me and say, you know, my mama had courage and my mama did things that, you know, nobody else wanted to do. And that makes, you know, that
well, I have somebody like Mavis who marched with Dr. King.
I know.
Say something like that.
It's amazing.
And but why are we still having to sing about things not having gotten as better as they should be since Selma, since Rosa Parks?
I know. And, you know, I feel like Some things are, some things aren't. I feel like sometimes we're moving backward, but that's why it's so important. These albums are so important to me, because I feel like I've always been raised that when you know better, you do better, right? And I feel like we all should know better and be doing better.
Mm-hmm. Quoting Mavis again, you know, I asked her, like, when she was making albums, like, where she was referencing a lot of the songs from the Civil Rights Movement era. I asked her once, why, you know, a lot of the songs people don't know the story, like you're just saying. She goes, you know, who's going to teach them the history? She says, I'll be the history. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing what a song can do that maybe a book can't do, you know.
Absolutely.
So do you feel like that's, you know, I'm curious about where you got to that place where you feel like that's important to be telling these stories. Was that something that was there all along, or is that, especially with this trilogy of records, it's obviously been something that you, in the middle part of your career, have come to?
You know, it's funny. I think it started much earlier, actually, because I was always doing songs about social injustice, religious hypocrites, you know, date rape, domestic violence. I mean, I've always been doing these types of songs, but what's fueled me is what's been happening in the world. So I feel like in order to be current, you're in order to evolve and grow, you need to talk about current issues and current events. And that's what I'm trying to do, you know, mixed in with some history.
I don't think you are a traditional blues artist in any way. I mean, you're coming out of the blues, but yeah. It seems like you've expanded. I mean, I hear all sorts of different kinds of music.
We got a Zydeco song on this too. Yeah.
I had never done Zydeco, so I was right. Like, woohoo, let's do that. I want to try everything. I like American roots music in general, and I feel like that's what blues is, and country and soul, and anything that's American roots, I feel like it's not off limits to me. I mean, I just did a whole entire country song.
Right. Well, I once asked Coco Taylor about you. You know, sometimes people can get a little prickly about, you know, the newcomer taking over our turf. And Coco was very complimentary of what you were doing.
I
was going to ask you, did you ever speak to Coco about stuff?
She called me all the time when I first got started. First of all, the first time I ever met her, I was really young and I just couldn't speak, you know. And then after that, we really became friends. I mean, she checked on me, told me all about the business, and was really concerned for me being in the business.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to have her as a mentor.
Yeah, I was going to say.
When I play those first-year students who are bored, they think, by the blues, Wang Dang Doodle, and the video of Coco singing, she's singing about sex! I think their minds are blown, you know. It's like, yes, she's singing about not only sex, but sex on her terms.
Exactly. The first time I ever got in trouble at school was because I was singing a Coco Taylor. So anyway, they never should have asked me to get up there and sing anyway, okay? All the kids had to get up and do a song. And so all the boys, they would get up and rap, and the girls would sing like Whitney Houston songs. And I never wanted to get up. So finally, I got up there and I sang I'm a Woman, right? And then when I got to the part about I can make love to a crocodile, that's when I got in trouble. And second grade was too early for that. So
has there been a moment when the six-year-old son yet has come home from school and said, Mom, I was singing one of your songs that I shouldn't have been?
Not yet, but he really loves the song I Fell in Love with a Honky. So he's been singing that.
We gotta talk
all
about
the time, and I'm like, honey, you know, there's really, it's kind of hard to sing that song all the time without an explanation, right? But he,
there's your critical race theory.
Race theory for you.
You need to tell the world about it now because you brought it up, and I was thinking, should we bring that up? But it's a nice kind of like change up in the record. The record's got a lot of serious songs on it, and then you get that song, you're laughing out loud.
Right, exactly.
So where's that coming from?
Well, it's, you know, I think this record is my entire personality. So there's the serious side, and then there's this crazy, goofy side of me that comes out, and it's all in the record, which I like that. You get to see all shades of Shamika Copeland, you know.
How about another song from you,
I guess,
and Arthur?
I guess we got to change it up and do Fell in Love with a Honky now.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
I'm sorry.
Saw his long legs walking into Tootsie's. Next thing I knew, we was playing footsies. He wasn't really handsome, just not my type. Standing by himself in the jukebox light. But there was something about him that was kinda cute. Made me love him right down to his cowboy boots. I fell in love with a honky in a honky-tonk bar, dressed up like a rodeo star, played country blues on a beat-up guitar. Fell in love with a honky in a honky-tonk bar. About a week later, we had another date. He cooked me chitlins and chicken fried steak. He offered me ice cream, my kind of fella. He had him some chocolate, I had me some vanilla. While things were heating up, I couldn't help but notice he stopped singing Hank and switched right into Otis. I fell in love with a honky and a honky honky-tonk bar, dressed up like a rodeo star, played country blues on a beat-up guitar, fell in love with a honky in a honky-tonk bar. When he's honky-tonking, I almost lose control. Who knew a country boy could have so much soul? How about it for Arthur Nielsen, y'all? Now everywhere we go, people seem to stare. Whatever reason, we really don't care. 'Cause even though we're different as day from night, love is much better than plain old black and white. I got myself a man who's tall, slim, and hunky, and every day he's getting just a little more funky. I fell in love with a honky in a honky-tonk bar, dressed up like a rodeo star, played country blues on a beat-up guitar, fell in love with a honky in a honky-tonk bar, fell in love with a honky in a honky-tonk bar, dressed up like a rodeo star, played country blues on a beat-up guitar, fell in love with a honky, fell in love with a honky in a honky-tonk bar. It's so inappropriate. I mean, it is. Leave it up to me to do that, though, right?
In a very good-natured way, and there's hope for all of us honkies, perhaps.
After a quick break, we'll be back with more songs and discussion with Shamika Copeland, including whether or not she has become a political artist in recent years. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are back. We're talking with blues singer Shamika Copeland today. Let's get right back to it.
Your first album, 1998, Turn the Heat Up. You're 19 years old, right?
18
when you recorded
when
the
recorded
record,
it,
right?
Yeah.
And it came out when you were 19, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So that's an amazing start to a career. That record got lots of accolades. What would you tell, looking back on that artist today, what would you tell her about that record? How does it hold up for you?
Oh,
what
my God.
Would you have done differently, if anything?
You know, I thought it was, like, when I listen to it now, I feel like there's a little girl singing. Like, you know, I listen to it. But I would just tell her not to take things so seriously, you know, and that there's going to be a whole lot of curveballs thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
And just, my father always preached to me to be original. And that's the most important thing, you know. Don't ever try to be like anyone else. And I feel like at some point I kind of lost my way there. And then Dr. John, who I loved and adored beyond belief, he reminded me of that later on. And he was like, don't try to conform to the music business. Make the music business conform to you.
Mm.
And that's kind of what I do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not focused on popularity as much as legendary.
Right.
Long haul, big picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And that, what you just said right there is the greatest tribute you could possibly give to your dad, who passed around the same time. And I'm wondering, was it difficult for you to be, you know, starting your career, making your first big album with your father?
It was.
Gone,
it was
it right was around so that tough. Same time.
Yeah, it was definitely tough. But gosh, I just feel like he's in me. He's with me. You know, I feel like he's even speaking through me sometimes. It's very scary. But I still feel like he's very much with me. And I lost my mom the day my latest album came out, August 19th. My mom passed away. And I just feel them so strong still with me. You know, and I miss them so much. But they're there. They're with me. They're cheering me on. You know, I got my angels watching over me.
Mm-hmm.
When did you feel like you grabbed the reins back? You said for a while there were people trying to get you to conform, right, to their ideas.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was any people in particular. I think it's the fight with yourself, because here's the words that I used with Mac when I was talking to him, Dr. John. I said, I don't know what people want to hear. Mm. And that's when he said, you've been doing great, but now you're about to f*** up. You know, don't try to conform. Don't worry about what people want to hear. Just do what's coming from you, what you feel like putting out.
Well, I got a bone to pick with some critics. So there's a perception. Now, you see the last three albums, Done Come Too Far, the new one, Uncivil War, and America's Child, as a trilogy. You've been saying that in interviews. And yet there's a perception out there of some critic, Shamika suddenly got political. I mean, to me, as you know, I teach 300 first-year students at Columbia College.
Wow.
And we deal with the blues in a class. And, you know, they yawn. I was like, oh, no. This was political music from day one.
Right.
You know, so what's this notion that you got political?
I know. It's so funny, because I don't think it's political at all. I think that people call anything that's a little bit uncomfortable political is what I think, is what I'm learning. If it's something that, you know, it's like, oh, my God, we don't want to hear about this, or we don't want to know about this. We just came out here to have a good time. Well, we are having a good time, but we're also going to be educated, and we're gonna know things when we leave here, which I think is so important, because as I learn, I like to put it out there. That's why I wanted to do the song about the Clotilda, and I just on this recent album did a song about the Gullah people.
Yeah.
I mean, because as I learn, I want to put it out there for other people who also want to know. People thank me all the time. Oh, my God, I didn't know about that. And so I think that's important.
If people don't know, the Clotilda was a slave ship that was only recently discovered a couple of years ago. Tell us about the Gullah people.
The Gullah people live in South Carolina, and they are so rich in culture. It's pretty amazing. And I thought, wow, the people, we should know about them. American people should know about these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Uncivil War, the middle entry in this trilogy, comes out at the height of the Trump period. Right. Well, you were talking before about sometimes it seems like we're moving backward. It really did seem for a while there like we were moving backward at lightning speed.
Absolutely. I just don't, you know, I've always been a leader in my life and never a follower. Right. So I'm always very concerned when people are drinking the red Kool-Aid, right? Because you're like, what is going on? have your own mind, research things and figure out things on your own. And people just so blindly follow anybody that will stand on a soapbox and say anything, right? And I just thought the divisiveness is just continuing, because at first we did Ain't Got Time for Hate.
Yeah.
Well, on America's Child. And I was like, oh, my God, this is only getting worse. How long how long do we have to continue fighting this uncivil war? It doesn't make any sense. And my issue has always been that I feel like if American people would just communicate with one another and respect each other and our cultures and stuff like that, we would realize that we're all the same. And the politicians have absolutely nothing to do with us. I mean, they are whole separate, they live a whole separate life than we do, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what side they're on, different playing field altogether. And so I always felt like we should stick together and say, screw those guys. Well, it's about us.
This is what you were saying. You can be goofy, you can be serious, all these different sides, right?
Yeah.
The honky in the honky-tonk bar is getting screwed out of Medicare and healthcare and student loans. Same as people of
color.
All
the same.
Don't you realize you're in the same boat?
We are all the same. And it's just like, can we all just realize that, respect each other, you know, our differences. I mean, culturally, we have all been through something, right? Mm-hmm. All of us. So we can agree on that. We just need to learn to respect it, communicate about it, stop arguing about silly things, because they're so masterful at pitting us against each other. Mm-hmm. If you watch the Idiot Box too much, the TV, I'm sorry, I call it the Idiot Box, you know, you end up just arguing about things that don't matter while they're in the background ruining your life. It's mm-hmm. like we should be talking and realizing that we're all the same, mm-hmm. you know? Right. And I've had conversations with people on both sides, and at the end of every conversation, we all agree.
Yeah. Right.
Same. Well, yeah.
The thing is to talk to people, right?
To have these conversations. Stop arguing and just start conversations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you had talked about playing a track off of Uncivil War.
This I was going to do Uncivil War because you guys
do it.
Yeah, I was going to do that.
I just love it. I think that was one of the five or six songs of this period, of this time. When your son is 70 years old and his grandkids are asking him, you know, what was 2016, 2017, what did it sound like? He's going to play that song.
Aw, well, thank you. That means a lot to me. That's what I'm hoping for, you know, that at some point, you know, the world ends and somebody finds my records and they'll know. They'll know what was happening in the world, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, all right. Uncivil War, everybody. Uncivil War. Uncivil war, how long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before, nobody wins in uncivil war. The lines are drawn, gloves are off, smiles are gone, we're all talking tough. You curse me out and I curse back. Everything we love is under attack. The spirits are back in rags, blue and gray. Thought they were gone, but they won't go away. Uncivil war, uncivil war, how long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before, nobody wins in uncivil war. You're sure you're right, I'm sure you're wrong. Why can't we all just get along? You yell fake and I yell real. Nobody seems to care how the other guy feels. Keeping count of each other's sins, only problem is nobody wins in uncivil war. In uncivil war, how long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before,
nobody wins an uncivil war. It's time to chill, agree to disagree, cut out all the hostility, call off the fighting and bring it to an end. We can shake hands and be friends again. Nobody's backing down, some won't even talk. The table's empty, we all took a walk. He says left, and she says right. One says peace, the other says fight. One hand's a palm, the other's a fist. Another chance for love just got missed. An uncivil war, an uncivil war. How long must we fight this uncivil war? Same old wounds we opened before. Nobody wins an uncivil war. Uncivil War.
Thank you.
Uncivil War, the title track from the 2020 masterpiece, I would say, that Shemeika Copeland put out. You know, I love the arrangement on the record, too.
Thank you.
Kind of a bluegrassy thing.
Yeah,
and it's almost like that's a subtle... Yeah, you know, I can do a bluegrass song.
Mm-hmm.
And music seems to be like that's the way we cross boundaries, genres, and, you know, everybody's kind of, it's a melting pot as
exactly.
opposed to, like, people being in their separate regions. I love that record, too, that great song, the tribute to Dr. John.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty Saint.
Dirty Saint.
And you'd mentioned Dr. John earlier. Now, that, talk about a salty dude. You know, he can be tough. He can be tough on people. But it sounded like he meant a lot to you.
Oh my God, yeah. He was so incredibly kind to me. He produced a record, you know, so we got a chance to write together. And then I went out on tour with him for a couple months. Can you imagine being on a bus tour with Dr. John?
No.
Him and Charlie Musselwhite. It was like some of the best times of my
life.
That's
cool.
Yeah, really, really great. So.
Charlie seems like a more affable dude just from, you know, my experiences with them individually. But, man, that must have been something.
Yeah, it was really
Talk about
great.
War stories.
I know. You know what's funny? I wish that I was recording their conversations, listening to those two
yeah.
talk, because it was just funny. But, yeah, Dr. John was really good friends with my dad.
Mm.
And when my dad passed, he just kind of immediately... reached out to me and was just always there. So
mm-hmm.
I miss him. Yeah.
Very cool.
Are you optimistic, Shemeika, that music can still bring us together? I mean, there is, you know, there's in the digital age, in the TikTok age, all right? You know, it's just mere entertainment. It's just background noise, according to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I do believe that it can. I think music is a healer. It always has been, you know. And I think we just need to continue to put out good music. And people always find it. You know, mm-hmm. the right people find the right stuff and the good stuff.
Yeah.
And the good stuff never goes anywhere. You
mm-hmm.
know,
yeah.
we were just listening to Motown in here and we were all jamming, right?
Yeah.
to music that, you know, that's been around that long. And mm-hmm. so that's what I'm hoping for with this music, is that it'll be around, you know, it'll stand the test of time. That's what mm-hmm. you want.
You were talking about being accepted by the audience, but how about being accepted by your peers? On this new album alone, you've got two icons of Hill Country Blues. You know, Cedric Burnside, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the other end, you know, kid Pat Sansone of Wilco, right?
Yeah.
You know, you've got Charlie Hodges, mm-hmm. Oliver Wood of the Wood Brothers.
It seems like you pick up the phone. People say, yeah, when do you want me?
You know, it's been really such a beautiful thing. It's an amazing community. I've been recording in Nashville, and it's true. It's just like that. It's like we're in a studio making a record. Want to come play on it? And they show up. It's amazing that way. So I love that. It's really cool.
Yeah, and at the same time, you've got this team, you know, Han obviously writing lyrics, and then
Will Kimbrough
kind of doing a lot of the work in the studio. So you seem to have, it's rare, I think, for an artist to work with a team consistently like that.
I know, it's very rare, and we're so grateful for it. We're all very like-minded, and all very much have the same goals, right? Mm. And it just works. I say it's a dream team. So,
What is it you like about recording in Nashville?
It's very inexpensive. There's a lot of we're making blues records here. We don't have a lot of money, right? And then so many people are there, so we can make that phone call, and Jason Isbell will come down to the studio, and you know, it just works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On every album, I do one of my dad's songs.
Ah, yeah, good, yeah.
And it's crazy and ironic that on this album, I did a song that my dad wrote for my mom, and I didn't know,
and
of course, that
passed.
She was going to pass away. Yeah. And it's just a feel good song that he wrote about her. Mm. And so I want to do that. Is it all right?
Oh, sure. Please. Do whatever you want.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Nobody But You. When I was out, took me in, gave me a shoulder to cry on, showed me love again. Nobody but you, nobody but you, make me love you like I do. Who can I depend on after all said and done? Who can I call and know they gonna run? Nobody but you, nobody but you, make me love you like I do. Only you hold a little piece of my heart. Only you gave my life a brand new start. Drinking mash, talking plenty trash, who made me realize I was headed nowhere fast. Nobody but you, nobody but you, make me love you like I do. Come on, y'all, put your hands together with me like this. Nielsen, y'all. When I was down, who lift me up? When other men they clown, who made me their buttercup? Nobody but you, nobody but you, make me love you like I do. Nobody but you, nobody but you, make me love you like I do. Hey, I wanna know, can you hear me out there? If you can hear me, all I want you to do is wave your hands, y'all, and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, 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 Lord, come on, y'all, say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Oh, Lord, I was down, baby, I was all the way down on the ground, but you lift me up, you lift me up, you lift me up, and you
you made me feel like I'm alive. So say yeah, say yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, 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 Lord, one more time, y'all. Say yeah. Thank you so much.
It has been an absolute thrill to be here with Shamika Copeland at the Goose Island Tap Room. Arthur Nielsen giving us tasty licks. Wow. That's a nice
years.
Way to spend lunch, huh?
25 years.
25
together.
Years. Wow.
Yeah.
What do we have on the show next week, Greg?
Next week, Jim, we are going to unearth some more buried treasure songs underneath the mainstream radar that we think you need to hear about.
Indeed, we will. And as our producers were intrepidly wrapping up this episode, we got the sad news that Tina Turner died at the age of 83. We have rushed out a bonus tribute podcast that you can get wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll pay tribute to this iconic legend on the radio show proper in a few weeks. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott.